All right, I'm ready to drive.
All right.
I got my steering wheel. Okay. Here we go. All right.
Did you start up the car?
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. This is a hybrid. There's no engine sound.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now I put it in gear, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Put it in drive.
Great. Here we go.
Put it in drive.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay. Okay. Down to drive.
Yep.
Okay.
Put it in reverse.
Oh, right. We got to back out of our spot.
Oh, my gosh. This is the first time you're ever driving?
No. I've had lots of instruction, okay? I'm just a little bit nervous right now.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Reverse.
This is your driving test.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't check my mirrors yet. I'll put it back in park. Okay. Check this mirror over here. All right. Can you adjust that one over there?
Yeah, once you give me the button to control the mirrors.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Go ahead. All right. Okay. That's good. Sweet. This side's good. Okay. Now reverse.
All right.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
You're almost there.
All right. Backing out. All right.
That's halt!
Whoa, whoa. Okay. All right.
Did you see the dog?
I
almost hit Toffee again.
I saw the dog, okay?
You saw the dog?
Yes. We're good. Can I drive now?
No.
Yes. What would you like?
For you to drive.
Okay. All right. Into drive. All right. Here we go. Oh, you know what? We should turn on the radio and make sure that we get to the right spot.
Stop going left!
Okay. 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 All right. I've got it. Okay. You do the radio then. All right?
Okay.
Here we go. Right. What do you... This is not helping me drive.
This is helping you a lot.
Stop. Stop. Okay.
Okay.
You're supposed to be helping me.
I am.
Learn to drive. You putting your arms across me like that does not... Help.
I'm helping you.
Okay, I'm driving. Here we go. Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so so do you want to know what happened at school today?
Yeah, what I...
Okay, I understand. I understand. Okay, just let me drive. Okay, I'll tell you about school later.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and put the cruise control on. You're
going
to make us die if you keep screaming like that.
Did you see the truck?
I'm driving. I'm okay.
Okay. Okay. You're driving.
Okay.
You're good. You're doing excellent.
I'm
doing really good
I'm
today.
Right in the middle of the lane.
I believe in you.
Okay.
You can do this.
You can stop talking to me now. You're just making me more nervous. You're really
helping.
Every time you start talking to me, I okay.
You're good.
All right.
All right.
I'm gonna go a little bit faster now.
Okay.
Okay. We're doing fine. Okay.
Break!
Okay, we're stopped. We're stopped. Okay.
Soinks.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You know what? This 4-minute drive home should not have been this nerve-wracking.
Well, it was thanks to you. All right. Okay. Yep. I'm going. I'm taking a taxi. Doggone it.
This door works, right?
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome!
Please shut his mic off. So, okay, that may have been a little bit ridiculous. That may have been, I don't know, a little bit extreme. But it's not, honestly, too far off from a session of driver's training that Matthew and I experienced just a little bit over a week ago. Only he was the one driving and I was the one freaking out. This whole driver's ed experience has taught me a lot about being a dad. I think he appreciated my apology after the last session that we had. Here's the thing, though. Being a dad means that sometimes you have to allow your children to take some risks, but understand that they still need you during that time too. I forgot to mention that if you're in your seats at this time, you can go ahead and take your masks off during the message. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. And like I mentioned, Matthew and I had one of those driver's sessions last weekend, where I think my teaching may have made him a little more nervous than what was actually going on. I admitted to him later that I probably overreacted to some of the things that happened. But the fact of the matter was, I was trying the best that I could as a father to keep him safe. And sometimes we as parents, we're afraid to allow our children to be loose, to take those risks and take those chances. And we want to be in control of all of those situations. We want to make sure that they're not going to be in any type of danger. And if we see them veering off to the left or to the right, we want to make sure that we bring them back towards center. And in this particular case, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to talk about a verse that says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Joshy, do you have my PowerPoint up? My TV is off up here. Okay. So our message this morning is called Hold On Tight. Hold on tight. As Matthew had to do several times during my driving, he had to exceedingly tell me to brake because I was swerving off course. And as he did that, he had to hold on tight. As he watched the brake lights light up in front of me and watched me not react to what was going on, he had to hold on tight. He had to hold on almost for his life. The author of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, he's talking to these, they are racially Hebrew or Jewish, but by faith, they are believers in Jesus Christ. And what he's saying to them is, he's saying, your faith is what causes you to have righteousness, not the law. Now, the law, it worked kind of like guardrails. Like if Matthew and I were up here driving and I started veering off to the side, the law would work as a guardrail to make sure that I didn't fall off the cliff one way or the other. But the law in and of itself could never make me go down that straight path. It just, like I said, kept me from veering off to one side or the other. Other things that can make us veer off to one side or the other are the circumstances that happen in life. Our circumstances often get our eyes off of Jesus and focused on what's going on. So what the author here is talking about when he says, "Let us hold unswervingly," is he's saying, I want you to live a life that's right down the center. I want you to live a life that doesn't go too far to the left or too far to the right. Now, when we started this regathering series, we started with verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. And that verse says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And I mentioned in that first message 2 weeks ago that it wasn't talking about a short-term furlough from gathering together. What he was actually talking about was people who were forsaking Christianity because their circumstances in life got too tough. These Hebrews who had believed in Jesus were being oppressed by other Hebrews who had not believed in Jesus. And some of them, because of the oppression that they were facing, were leaving the faith altogether. So when the author of Hebrews writes, "Do not neglect to meet together," or "Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together," what he was saying was, no matter what circumstances you go through, do not give up your faith in Jesus Christ. And then he said, rather, instead, realize that other people are going through circumstances that are trying to drive them away from Christ as well. And instead of abandoning or forsaking your faith, encourage one another. He says, actively encourage one another. As I was saying, we want to make sure that we stop from swerving. In fact, the author here is saying, don't abandon the faith no matter what your circumstance, no matter what circumstances happen to you. And if you see someone who is in danger of abandoning the faith because of their circumstances, grab them. Get them back. And I'm not talking about necessarily community evangelical free church. I'm not saying if they've wandered away from community evangelical free church. That's not even what I'm saying. Although we hate to see anybody do that, right? We want them to be with us. But what the author is speaking of here is he's speaking of walking away from the Christian faith entirely. And what he's saying is, if you see other people that are doing that, grab them, bring them back, encourage them to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. And then he says, all the more as we see the day drawing near. What day? The day that Jesus returns. And then last week we talked about, let us consider how we might stir one another up to love and good works. And you saw my excellent baking skills last week. And this message we're talking about, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. And that word, unswervingly, literally means hold on tight. It literally means hold on tight. The example that I have here is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 42. Jesus had just begun his preaching, and he knew that he was going to be more of an itinerant preacher. He was going to go around preaching, and the people tried to keep him there in that town where he was preaching. They were trying to hold on tight to him. Well, here's the encouragement from the author of the book of Hebrews. No matter what happens in our lives, fix your eyes on Jesus Christ and hold unswervingly, he says, to the hope that we profess. And that idea of hope, I've talked about this before, but it's not like I hope that I win the lottery or something like that. Here's what the word hope means in Greek. It means a favorable and confident expectation. When we think about that hope that we have in Jesus Christ, it's not, man, I sure hope that this whole Jesus thing is true. No. It's a confident expectation that Jesus is coming back. And he may come back during our day, and he may not. But either way, it's a confident expectation that he is coming back. So the author of Hebrews is saying, fix your eyes on Jesus, keep straight on the road. Don't swerve too far to the left or too far to the right. Just keep focused on Jesus and hold on tight to that hope that we profess, that favorable expectation that one day Jesus is coming back for us. One day he will return. And even more than that, one day he's going to make everything right. He's going to make everything right. The hope that we profess. And then the last thing that he says, and yes, I'm sorry, this is a rather short message today. I apologize. I know you're not used to that. It says, he who promised is faithful. We just finished a whole series on the book of Daniel, right? The whole point of the book of Daniel is God is trustworthy. We can trust him. We think Daniel's the main character of the book of Daniel. No, Daniel's not the main character of the book of Daniel. God is. It's God who is faithful all the way through the book. The things that he promises, he does fulfill. We need to hold unswervingly because he who made the promise is faithful. Now, yes, today's Father's Day. And I am incredibly thankful for the fathers and father figures that have invested into my life. I think of my father who is no longer with us, but the kindness and gentleness that he showed, not just to me, but to everyone that he came in contact with. I'm thankful for the work ethic that he had, the investment that he made into our family. I'm thankful for my mentors, especially my mentor Scott, who's been with us once before, but he wasn't my father, and yet he became a father figure to me because he willingly invested into my life at a time that I really needed somebody to invest into my life. He was like Matthew played up here. He was the one that kept me from swerving to the left or to the right. And I think that young men need somebody like that. This past Friday, I participated in the Peace March, and several other people from our church did as well, including Mike Emerson and Jim Meyer and several other people participated in that. And after that march, I was talking to a young, he's not as young as I am. He's a little bit older than I am, but he's still young. And he was telling me about someone from our church, Glenn Hansel, that made an investment into his life. And he told me that if it hadn't been for Glenn, he would probably be dead right now. And it didn't matter that this gentleman had a different skin color than Glenn did. Glenn willingly took him in and treated him not as just a young man, but as a son, he said. Those were his words to me, that he treated him like he was a son. You know, there are so many godly men in our church, and some of them don't have their own biological children, and some of them, their biological children have already grown up and are on their own. There are so many young men in our church and in our community that could use another godly man in their lives. I think that I think that God, our Heavenly Father, is reflected in godly fathers. I think that the characteristics of God, our Father, show up in men of God who desire to see other young men follow Christ. And so those of you who take the time and make the effort to invest into your children or into those who are not your children, you reflect your Heavenly Father in those situations. The example that that you give to the rest of the church and to young men in particular is worth more than you could ever know. So I want to encourage us this morning, whether if you are a man here or if you're a man and you're watching this video, be the best father that you can be. Whether you have your own biological children or not, invest into the life of someone and help them to grow to be a godly example to somebody else. We have our Father as the greatest example of a faithful Father that there is. And you know, as I was thinking about this lesson this morning, of course, I thought about Glenn, of course, because I just had that conversation with that gentleman Friday night. But I also thought about Jim Vernon and how he selflessly gave his life into his adopted son, Jim, foster son, Darius. And how now Jim invests his life into Jace. And I thought about Dave and Amy Carroll and how they willingly took in children and fostered them so that those children could have a godly example in their life. I thought about Mike Emerson and how for so many years he faithfully ministered at Five Pines, investing not only into the children that came to Five Pines, but also into the staff members there that needed a godly example. And now how he continues to invest into our teenagers. There's room for every godly man to invest into someone else. And when you do that, you're just reflecting your Heavenly Father. So when we come to the end of this verse and it says, "He who promised is faithful," all I could think about is that God our Father, He's a faithful God, and He's a good, good Father. And He gives every single one of us men an example that we can follow. Do I always do the best job being a father? Ha! Don't ask my children. I try. I really do. I try to be patient. One of them, even on the children's church video that we made yesterday, testified of my patience. And I sat there going, "Who are you talking about?" But when we do the best that we can to reflect our Heavenly Father, we make an investment into the lives of somebody else with the goal that they will grow up and become not like us, but like our Heavenly Father as well. So that's my encouragement to us this morning, is not just to the men, but to the ladies as well. Who can you invest in? Who can you encourage as we see the day drawing near? Who can you help to hold unswervingly to the faith, recognizing that God our Father, who made the promises that one day He's going to set everything right, He's faithful. He's a good, good Father, isn't He, Pastor Andy? I'd like to invite the band back up to lead us in the song, "Good, Good Father." Father, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the godly men that have made investments into the lives of other men in this church. We pray that we would do more and more into our own biological children and into those that need a father figure in their life, that you may receive the honor and glory when they grow up and decide to follow you and continue unswervingly in the faith that they profess and then make an investment into somebody else. Father, we know that that day is drawing near, and we don't know when it's going to be, but one day you're going to set everything right. So, Lord, I encourage us to continue strong, to love hard, and to be faithful in everything. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah, we enjoy when we read the scriptures and we understand what the Bible is teaching us about the greatest God, you know, all-powerful God, the mighty God, the God of the universe, creator of the universe. You know, he chooses to call himself Father to us. He chooses to call us friends. He chooses to call us, be a shepherd to us. So that's the God that we serve. Let's go ahead and sing this.